You're listening to WMUC-FM College Park 90.5. It is 10 p.m. and that means we're done with Spanish music. No more Latino stuff. No more Latinx. We're doing news now. This is Moral Hazard on WMUC-FM 90.5. Every Thursday at 10 p.m. I don't have anything prepped right now because my computer's closed. But, you know, you guys know what it is. It's 10 p.m. every 10 p.m. on Thursdays. Unless it's spring break or unless I have somewhere else better to be. I'm not going to be here 2 weeks from now, probably. I don't remember exactly what my schedule is, but something like that. 2 weeks from now, I'm going to be doing something fun, so I won't be here. It's whatever. It doesn't matter. We're on public radio. The only people that listen to this are my parents, like a straggler and whoever doesn't know how to turn off their radio. Yeah. So, good evening. Good evening, of course. Where are my manners? You're listening to WCFM College Park 90.5. I already said that. But welcome to Moral Hazard. I'm your host, Stephen Fung. Joined by...
Wait, do I speak into this
You speak
one?
Into this one. That doesn't okay. work. You gotta... I told you, we only got one mic. I'm gonna move it out here.
Okay. This is Sophia... Kozhakova.
That's the Americanized pronunciation, but, you know, for the more cultured out here, we call it Kozhakova.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty close. Yes, Sophia is an upcoming DJ here at Moral, at WMUC, sorry. Moral Hazard is not the radio station, but upcoming DJ at WMUC. You know, right now she's taking the role as intern here at Moral Hazard. And you know, one might say my star pupil.
Yeah.
As I TA a course that she takes.
True.
Yeah. And for her best behavior on this show, I'm not going to mark down her most recent project.
Wait, actually, full points. Yeah. We need full points.
I don't grade the projects of anyone I know. So yeah, I've been I just grade like three groups and then I call it a day. But it's a great class. It's
it
a great
is.
Class.
I highly recommend. The professor has one star on Planet Terp.
And you know, I didn't know that until after I took the class. After I finished taking the class, I learned that I learned about the Planet Terp reviews. But I really don't look at the reviews for my professors on Planet Terp. I pick my classes based on time and vibes.
Yeah, sometimes you just gotta go for it and see where it takes you.
Yeah, and you know, this one took me pretty far. I took the class, now I'm back in the class, but this time I'm making $17 an hour. Isn't that great?
$17.
They pay you $17 an hour to TA for upper levels at the Smith School. I don't know about lower levels, but upper levels is $17 an hour. I'm working 5 hours a week. that is, you know, after tax, probably around $50 a week.
That's that big money.
Big money. You know, I'm taking it 6 classes and TAing, and I do this, and, you know, I probably, you know, go out and drink every once in a while, but yeah, I managed to make it work, and that's the most important thing. You are a very talkative one in that class, you know?
I gotta get those points.
Monday, when I was checking attendance, you didn't raise your hand once. We track how many times people raise their hands.
So numbers were
Monday.
Down
you
Monday.
Did not. You did not raise your hand once. And you know, the professor pulled me aside. He was like, "Can you check on it?"
Actually, I was very. I think I was tired or something. It was one of those days.
Yeah, it was. You know, midday on a Monday. You know, everyone wishes they were just doing nothing. But you know, some of us have to take classes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's Moral Hazard. It's the new year. We got a new world. The world keeps changing. Something. You can go it alone, but wouldn't you rather? Look. Let me stray from the script really quick. I'm not about to sit here and tell you that the world keeps moving and you need Moral Hazard to tell you what to pay attention to and all that. Life is a series of meetings and departures, and then your plane gets hit by a drone on the way to JFK, and you die. All right. In the meantime, we have a lot of noise and fancy headlines. Moral Hazard is here to point to all the shiny things and tell you to care about it, even though it doesn't matter. That's the spirit.
You know yep. what? Yes, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, who cares? What are you going to do? What are you going to do about the war? What are you going to do about the war in Iran? What are you going to do about gas prices? What are you going to do about private credit, GPs throwing their money at the, or LPs throwing their money at the GPs, and they're knocking it out of the park and you never see it again? You can't do anything. All you can do is sit here and write Substack articles. That's all you can do. There's nothing else to do in this world than look at interesting things and think about them in a smart way. And you can't do anything about it.
We need more Substack authors.
No, we don't. We don't. We really don't.
Society needs more.
Are you on Substack?
Occasionally.
You're on Substack?
But I don't write.
I'm going to pull up Substack right now.
I do not write.
I write sometimes. I have about 7 drafts. I've posted on my account 2 things, both last year.
I think I read one of them.
Yeah, well, you know, I have a lot of fans.
Oh, okay.
Look at this. We're doing 2012 memes styles in this. Substack is slop. What am I hearing right now?
Someone having more fun than Moral
someone
Hazard.
Someone is screeching outside. Substack is slop. I mean, there's nothing good here ever. LLM architecture gallery. Just vibe code your website. That's all you need to do. Yeah, you know, it's, what is this?
This is the Venn diagram we had to make in our project.
Oh, yeah, 3. The four-way Venn diagram. You know, no one got it?
No one got it.
Yeah, a Venn diagram with 4 categories.
No one wanted to do it.
No, everyone just made a cross with the Venn diagram.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue with that is, like, you can't get just, like, because it's A on the left, B on the top, C on the right, D on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get just B and D. And you can't get just A and C.
Yeah, it's 16 unique sections.
Yeah. And so that's the issue.
Well, we didn't even try, so.
Well, I mean, you know, I've seen worse. That some, you know, not to put people's business out there, but, you know, just in general at the Smith School, I wish people stopped using AI to answer questions without mm-hmm. actually understanding what the answer was.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'll say. Because, I mean, when someone says, like, you need 16, I think it was 15. It was 15 unique?
16.
It's 16? Yeah, whatever the correct number was. Yeah, for the 4x4, they're like, whatever the correct number was, they're like, all right, we need this amount. And then they draw up the Venn diagram, and it doesn't have that many. But, you know, all that aside, who cares? Nothing. You can't change anything. But what we can do is look, point at things. What is happening outside? What is that? What am I hearing? Are you hearing someone yelping?
Yes,
okay.
I am. Someone's very excited.
There's a window out. The window's open.
Should I close it?
Nah, it's fine. All right, you've got an art history show coming up.
Yeah, I do.
Talk about that.
I plan to talk about different movements within art history. I don't know. I wanted to talk about the Dutch Vanitas. I wanted to talk about DeviantArt and
DeviantArt. DeviantArt and the Dutch Vanitas.
Yeah.
Wow. Rule 34.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, we can delve into as modern or as old as we want. I just think that there are so many topics to be explored. And hopefully there will be an Instagram account accompanying this to actually show the things that I'm talking about. So that you are not just hearing me talk about something that looks good. But we will make it happen. Trust.
Well, you know, Rule 34 has actually existed since time immemorial. Because Heinrich Lassau's The Sin from 1880.
Mm.
Now, that's a crazy one.
See, but I'm sure they went even... There's more explicit stuff.
I'm pretty sure this is in the Vatican. This is in the Vatican archives.
Really?
I have to see. I believe this one. What is happening?
Yeah, what, no,
it's registering on the mic. Oh my god!
Close the window.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. All right, we got the window closed. See, you know. Oh, and I can still hear it, but I don't think it's picking up anymore. Yeah, I believe The Sin is in the Vatican archives, or at least it was. The Vatican
that's so
has
ironic.
The Vatican has a bunch of stuff that's like crazy to think that the Vatican has it. But, you know, it's whatever. I mean, shoot, they've got an entire, like, corporation dedicated to their collections. So, you know, that's whatever. But, all right, so you're just going to go, like, every week and you're going to talk about something new in our history?
Yeah, okay. I think so. And just, like, different pieces or different artists as well as just...
Do you know about Damien Hirst?
Damien Hirst, yes.
Yes.
I believe
the guy
so.
With the shark, he put the shark in formaldehyde. He put a bunch of stuff. He put the cow in formaldehyde.
Yeah.
He sold NFTs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got any thoughts on that guy?
I mean,
yet to be formed.
I feel like there's many people like that, and I feel like it just comes like with separating like people within the art market versus like artists. But I don't know. I got to look into it more. It's like
I'm a little on the fence with Damien Hirst. I talk about him a lot on this show for some reason. Well, that's because I have to talk about Steve Cohen a lot. Because he owns the Mets and he owns .72, the hedge fund, and he is a major investor in Damien Hirst artworks. And, I mean, the shark was really a special one.
Okay, yeah, I've seen this before. I mean, you know, it's a very, like, separate thing. This very, like, corporatized, investment-focused, like, art situation. But I guess you could also be one of those people that's like, oh, well, if it makes you react somehow, like, it's art, too.
Yeah, and... I mean, I guess, but, like, okay, so he put a shark in formaldehyde, yeah. Right? He fished a tiger shark... from Australia, where he paid someone $50,000 to fish a tiger shark from Australia, shipped it over, put it in formaldehyde, sold it to Steve Cohen. He messed up the formaldehyde preservation, because like, formaldehyde can typically preserve like a dead body. He messed it up, and the shark was like literally decaying in the formaldehyde, and he had to replace it. And so if you ask me, that sounds like bad art to me. Like, he didn't mean to do it. Mm-hmm. And it got messed up, you know?
If it didn't mess it up, then, yeah. Like, yes, sure, that would have been, like, the thing. But he couldn't even do the thing
like,
he wanted
he
to do.
If he intended to, like, improperly preserve it in formaldehyde and it decays, I mean, the title of the art is The Physical Impossibility of Death in the Mind of Someone Living. And so it's a dead shark that is preserved in formaldehyde, and it's decaying. Now, if that was intentional, you know, I could sit here and I could say, well, you know, there's a statement to be made there. But if it's not intentional, you just kind of suck.
Messed up
you know?
A dead shark.
I don't call it impressionism when my little sister at 6 years old throws paint at a piece of paper. Because she wanted to paint a cat.
I mean, I'd argue there's more value in the little sister's work than the... formaldehyde decaying shark.
Well, no, because you can put the little sister's work on a fridge, but you can put the formaldehyde shark in an entire room for itself.
True.
And you can get people to, like, stand around and go, oh, yeah. You know? My little sister's artwork on the fridge, that's going to get replaced by a report card the next quarter.
You're right. You're right.
So, I mean, we're going... Damien Hirst, like... So, it goes, my little sister, Damien Hirst, like, pretty much everyone else.
Mm-hmm,
like, yeah. I mean, she wasn't a good artist. Yeah.
I see that, but, like, it's okay to say that. It's okay to say that.
That my little sister sucks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she's been dead for, like, 10 years.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding.
No, I didn't believe you.
She's in 10th grade.
Did she get better?
No, she's good. She's good at art.
Oh.
She's fucking...
Is she listening right now?
Yeah, she's good. Yeah, no, she doesn't listen.
Okay,
she's
perfect.
Too busy with her popcorn fundraiser. She's got some, she plays lacrosse.
Mm.
They have some popcorn fundraiser. I was just like, why do I have to buy popcorn?
Like, exactly. Like, why are the Girl Scouts
thing? I've got $25 with your name on it. Like, I have to give Double Good money. They make popcorn and send it to someone of my choice. There's no option to just give the money. Double Good has to take, like, a cut.
Oh, they send the popcorn... from you, as if?
Yeah, Double Good. Yeah, they're popular in the public schools, man.
I've never heard of this.
All the athletic clubs do fundraisers through this. You send the money in, you either buy popcorn for yourself, someone else, or you donate popcorn, and then they just send, like, 80% to the person. Which is, like... I don't even know if they're a nonprofit. I actually don't know.
We had, like, a thing where people would sell oranges... to people's houses to fund the band and orchestra. But
sell oranges?
Yeah, like they go around like selling grapefruits and oranges.
Where are you from?
I'm from Bethesda, Maryland.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, dude, I guess, you know, maybe oranges are in high demand in Bethesda for,
like,
you know.
You'd buy it because a child was trying to sell it to you. Like,
well, yeah. I mean, I bought the popcorn because a child was trying to sell it to me, my little sister. But I would just rather have given $25 outright to the organization. They didn't have any option for that.
True.
Like, the only option they had was donate popcorn to teachers.
But, like, think about it. It's a sales exercise. Like, she's gaining skills by approaching...
No, she's not.
she's approaching people. That's... She's selling a product. She's marketing herself. She's marketing her organization.
No, my mom told me to buy it. My mom... She didn't even apprise me of that information. My mom had to tell me.
Mm.
So, I don't know. You know, maybe she's working on it. But, yeah... Who cares? You guys give the lacrosse team some money. My high school, the high school that she goes to now, is like best in the state at women's basketball. It's like
really
everything else, they suck. They suck so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But women's basketball, for some reason, they've won like 5 state championships in the past like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a game by them, but apparently they're very good.
Do they like have like an... Like a strong college funnel situation
for women's basketball?
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're doing the Auburn thing where they're like under the table bribing students to transfer over and all that.
Oh.
You know, I mean, because they're bussing in talent. The talent doesn't come from our town.
Oh, I see.
They're transferring in kids. I don't know what the appeal is beyond like. Either, like, the kid has a shot at national or at going to college for basketball. Or,
I think
like,
that's it.
Or, like, you know, we'll give you free merch.
Free merch. I think it's definitely one of those two.
It's one of those two. I mean, it might be, like, a blindside situation where the entire team is, like, blindside. Have you seen that movie?
No, I haven't.
The Blindside? You should probably not watch that one. It sucks.
Okay.
But I had to watch it on FX when I was a kid. Most people have seen it, I think. I feel like most people in America have seen Blindside.
Okay.
Yeah, you're missing out on that. Anyways, we have real news to talk about, all right? And it's all the same, anyways. What's going on? We haven't been here for 2 weeks. What things happened in the news? What happened? Iran's still happening. We're still in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
We're about to send 10,000 troops. The Pentagon's weighing sending 10,000 U.S. citizens to go and fight. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You got boots on the ground in Iran.
But it's nearing the end, though. It's over.
Well, it's basically up, but you know, we're negotiating, but also we need 10,000 people. So, dear listeners, if you would like to serve your country, the Pentagon desperately will need 10,000 additional Marines after they deploy them to Iran and they die. So, if you would like to fill those vacant spots, go to your local Marines recruiter and tell them, I have nothing left to live for. I would rather just let my president send me into certain doom for no reason.
You make a pretty strong case there.
It's a pretty strong case. I mean, that's what everyone else says when they go in, right? I don't know. What else do people say? They're like, you know what would fix me? Die. You know what would fix me? Getting shot.
I feel like most of them are like, it is what it is.
The Marines is going in, getting bullied by your own platoon, and then getting shot. And then you come back. I know a kid who tried to join the Marines. He got stationed in Japan because he scored high on his like aptitude test, whatever. I'm pretty sure he killed his friend.
Really?
Well, he's gotten discharged. But they were in Japan, and you know, stationed in Japan, whatever. And they went on a hike together, him and his best friend,
mm-hmm.
both Marines.
Okay.
They went on a hike together. It was like in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
The friend dies on the hike.
Really?
And then he just comes back and now he's going to Case Western. And like, he wasn't that, like it didn't seem like he was that torn up about it. So it was like, I mean, he didn't tell me like how the friend died,
mm-hmm.
right? But, like, first of all, you're in Japan, right?
Yeah.
There's only so many ways you could die. No one's, like, coming and no homeless guy is coming and stabbing you in the mountains.
Yeah.
Right? You know?
I mean, maybe it was a freak accident.
Freak acts. They're Marines. How do you do that?
Like, step over the cliff and fall. I don't know.
I'm sure Marine. Yeah, all their training. They didn't learn how to walk.
Like you walk and there's no ground under you suddenly. Yeah. And then you're like in there,
I mean,
like,
I would expect that. I would expect that from like a Baltimore City like yuppie kid who like just went to go and do like a little expedition by themselves. Mm-hmm. But I did Outward Bound. Is it? You know what Outward Bound is?
No.
What's the term? It's like those camps that your parents send you to when you're bad. They're like, it's either this or the military, military
like
school.
Like ROTC type?
Well, it's just like, if you were bad that year, your parents would send you that there for the summer. You know, you were like setting things on fire, whatever. Okay. Those kids were fine. Like, they didn't die. They didn't die. No one died. And it was in the Appalachian Mountains, all right? Like, that's pretty dangerous. There are people who will kill you in the Appalachian Mountains.
True.
No one dies there, and those are kids.
Yeah, they have, like, no guns in Japan. They're just...
Yeah, there's no guns, I mean, like, everyone makes a decent enough amount of money. Like, there is, like, a homeless problem in Japan as well. But, like, still, you know, it's better than the U.S. Safer. In the military, they teach you how to walk. That's, like, in the first thing. You wear a big backpack and you ruck, you know? So I was like, I don't know how this guy died unless... He killed him, and then he gets discharged, and now he's going to college to become the president.
To become the president.
He is, like, the type of guy who would run for office. Mm. So, which makes me think even more that he killed him. They don't let you run for office unless you have something, like...
Some, like, big secret.
Unless you have, like, terrible dirt.
Would ruin your reputation.
Yeah,
forever.
And then it makes you go to war in Iran, because they're like, you do it or else, you know, the AP's getting your little secret. No, we don't believe in conspiracy theories here. I believe the U.S. went into Iran because we thought we would win it.
Yeah, and to help them.
Well, yeah, to save them.
Yeah, they needed a lot of help.
They didn't have internet. We had to bring the people of Tehran didn't have internet or electricity or houses. Like, we had to come in there, and we had to build up the infrastructure to save them. It's the same thing we did for the Native Americans.
First, we have to ruin the infrastructure, and then we have to build it up, like, brand new.
Well, I mean, it's not even ruining the infrastructure. I mean, it's like, you know... If they were living in little stick huts, we come blow it down. We'll build them a nice brick house that we can't blow down. You know.
Yeah, like three little pigs.
Three little pigs. I mean, if any country was the big bad wolf, mm-hmm. I think it's the U.S. All right, and I think Iran might just be like. I don't think Iran's like the piggy that built the brick house, but I believe they're at least the piggy that like built the stick house. Mm-hmm. You know.
Like he's able to hold.
Or the wood house. You know? There's like the one made of hay. The one made of sticks, mm-hmm. the one made of brick. Yeah, they're like the stick. They're like in between sticks and bricks, mm-hmm. all right? They're not there yet. One day we're going to like step on a tail that we shouldn't have stepped on, and then I'll have to learn Chinese. But like until then, I think we can back out of it. It doesn't look like we are really having much success at backing out of this. You know, we've been, negotiating for, we've been talking. You can't see it because we're on radio, but I'm doing air quotes. Talking to the Iranians about a ceasefire for like 2 weeks now, and nothing's happened.
And they're like, what talking?
Well, it's because, you know, we send them our 15-point plan, and like, one of the 15 points is like, you have to rely on American energy for the rest of your life. There's really nothing. There's really no reason for them to say yes. What's more alarming, though, is that past week we've learned that Iran's ballistic missile range is actually twice as large as we thought it was. It was went from 2,000 kilometers to 4,000 kilometers. And now it is of our understanding that they actually have the range to, like, hit Heathrow. So it's like, you know, let's kind of wrap it up here. I don't care to see the Strait of Hormuz blockaded for much longer. I don't care to see Heathrow decimated, although, like, up the raw, you know. I'd rather just see an end to this. Although, look, I say I'd rather see an end to this. This is how you know I'm being genuine when I say I'd rather see an end to this. Because my Robinhood account... my Robinhood account has made so much money over the past 3 weeks.
Can't stop winning.
That's how you know these are my genuine beliefs, okay? Because my pocket is in the opposite direction, all right? This is me speaking to you. I want the Iran war to end. So 10,000 Marines don't die. So they can do some other stuff, probably. I don't know. What do people do instead of joining the Marines? Just, like, work at Dick's Sporting Goods.
A job, yeah.
Yeah. There's really not, like, I get why people join the military. It's because most jobs in the United States that you can get right now suck.
Corporate slop job or working out every day?
Yeah, I mean, it's like die or...
working out and then die or...
Yeah, get your leg blown off by a landmine that your tank rolled over or work at Chipotle, you know? I do have an issue with American food now. American food used to be like hamburgers, like like hot dogs. Now American food is they give you like a cardboard bowl.
A slop bowl.
And they put stuff in it. They put stuff in it. You stand in line. Like we made fun of the Russians during this during the Cold War for having to stand in food line.
But yeah, like with the plop of oatmeal.
Yeah,
like
I mean, since when? I mean, I want to meet and kill whoever, like whichever corporate strategist like stood up at the board meeting and was like, "You guys remember school lunches? What if we sold that? What if we sold the school lunch where you get the lunch lady to put all the random stuff not mixed together, just but a bunch of ingredients in a bowl, and then you have to mix it yourself, or you can just like, you know, eat it like a cake." I hate Chipotle. I hate Cava. I hate Cava more than Chipotle for some reason.
Wait, I 100% agree. It is.
What about
so...
Sweetgreen?
Like, I've had it like once, and I will never choose to have it.
I hate Sweetgreen even more. I agree. Yeah. Sweetgreen's not filling.
It's a salad. It's an overpriced salad.
It's leaves.
Salad.
It's leaves. They got the lunch lady scooping leaves into your bowl.
Yeah, like.
Oh, man. But they have that new protein bowl that's like 114 grams of protein or something like that.
When is the protein craze going to end?
I mean, I give it like a year.
I feel like everything is like. This much protein. This is protein. When did this...
You want to know why?
Why?
It's because the USDA and the FDA have been asleep at the wheel for like 30 years. Hmm. And that's why we have... The whole reason that GNC exists as a company is because, like, American regulators do not care about, like... that they sectioned off, like, a demilitarized zone of, like, pseudoscience. They were like, you can sell whatever you want here. Mm-hmm. And they called it vitamins, all right? So, like, GNC, they'll sell you whatever. They'll sell you untested things. They'll sell you things that are literally just placebo. Oh, man. I went into there's a GNC in not Hyattsville.
The University Park.
No, yeah, it is Hyattsville. Like, okay. Hyattsville Crossing. There's, like, the mall. I went into that GNC. They were selling, there was everything. I mean, there's like theanine, you know, which isn't really like science hasn't confirmed like anything that's going on there. I mean, like vitamin pills, like you don't need that. Just eat food, you know? You act like you're a pirate getting scurvy, like you're fine. Yeah, you get your normal vitamins through a normal meal.
You think the protein like obsession comes from that, just like not trusting what we eat? Or
no, I mean the protein obsession, I think it's like it jointly stems from, you know, like the workout, like,
yeah,
you know, grind, protein powder, muscle. You know, protein to gain muscle. I mean, that's shown to, you know, have a significant effect on your like muscle growth when you're exercising, so you know that's fine. But like, no one else needs protein like that.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I've met people who don't do any exercise at all. They're like, I need my protein, man. They're getting the extra protein bowls. They're going to the convenience store. They're buying the, like, extra protein bar. They're, like, looking at the amount of grams of protein on it. Like, you
gotta... Yeah, like, I need the abstract concept of protein in my food.
Yeah, I was like, if you're not, like, trying to gain weight or anything, like, it doesn't really seem like there's much need for protein, but I haven't really looked into it that much, yeah. You know? I will say, like, the people who are getting the protein for no reason are the same people who were doing, like, intermittent fasting, like, 5 years ago, you know? It's just, you know, you can tell, like, there's a sucker born every day, and some of them, you know, when you're born a sucker, you stay a sucker, I guess. I don't know.
Well, maybe it's a new generation of suckers. The other ones,
new generation of suckers.
This one's.
I don't think who learns. Who learns?
True.
Once you're on that placebo grind, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. I mean, like I've met like 50-year-old like vitamin guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't doubt for a second that they were that dumb like 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I think it's just like you've been dumb your whole life, and like. Society hasn't meaningfully learned how to exploit how stupid you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just like the vitamin people, you know, they had the leg up because the FDA is asleep at the wheel. No one does anything. Why aren't we regulating? You know, you don't have to. There are basically zero guardrails for putting out a vitamin product.
Really?
There's no testing, no nothing. There's literally less guardrails than putting out, like, farm, like, crops from a farm when you do vitamins. You know, you don't have to do, like, placebo trials, nothing. It doesn't have to be proven to help. It's not like medicine. It's just some garbage you buy. They don't do anything. Anyways.
It's not even the gummy ones?
The gummy vitamins? I mean, obviously there are vitamins in it, but it's like most people, you get your required vitamins through, like, normal things. Anyways, we have to do a PSA. You know, we're a nonprofit, something. Don't drink and drive, I think this one's about. Yeah, guys, you know, learn.
It's a Thursday night.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right now. I got my car parked at Mowat right now. When I'm done with this radio show, I'm not going to drink and drive. I'm going to drive because I'm not drunk. But I could be.
Might you be buzzed when you suddenly love everything?
You guys, I love this song.
I love these nachos.
I love our kickball league. Ugh! I love this guy.
What's your name?
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzzed warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I love your car. Is this real leather?
All right, and we're back. I hope you enjoyed that one about don't drink and drive. I wasn't listening. But, don't drink and drive. Use your common sense, guys. Don't buy vitamins. Don't drink and drive.
No slop bowl.
No, don't buy a bowl of Chipotle. Just make it yourself. I mean, really, like, you could. It's refried beans, rice.
Some chicken.
And, like, chicken. Everyone gets chicken. Like, it's so easy. Just do it yourself.
I'm saying, we got Chipotle at South Campus Dining Hall, but no one's hearing
it. Literally everything you could get on your Chipotle bowl is already either sold in a can or, like, chicken and rice.
Yeah.
Like, the refried beans are in a can, the corn is in a can, the queso's in a tin, the cream cheese is in a tin, the pico de gallo you can get in a tin, and then just buy the chicken, and then buy the rice and make it yourself. You're spending $17 for extra chicken. You could just make it. Just one chicken breast.
See, but people swear by it. They think it's like...
They swear by it because they don't know how to cook chicken.
Mm.
They don't know how to cook chicken. I've seen people who don't know how to cook chicken. Do you know how to cook chicken?
Just cook it. Like,
oh.
Until the temperature gets the right temperature.
See, you don't know how really to cook it. You got to put it in the oven. You got to put it in the oven, like, on a reasonable temperature for a little while. Take it out, then sear it.
Mm.
That way you get it clean through, you know?
Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
Gives it the nice finish, you know? Yeah, we could talk about what's happening in the world besides Iran, probably. I mean, oil prices are back up. That's Iran. The stock market's down. That's also Iran. You know, I said this to you already, but, like, when war's happening, there really is no news but the war. We got private credit. Private credit, I mean, they're having a tough time right now.
They are.
They're really having a tough time. Those redemptions, you know, they're stacking up. I mean, we saw Blue Owl, right? We saw Blue Owl. We saw Morgan Stanley. It's just expanding, and it keeps expanding and expanding and expanding. And the question is the issue that your loans suck, or is the issue that no one believes in you anymore?
Mm-hmm.
What's your angle?
I feel like it depends on the firm, but as a whole, it's just like the concept is very hard to get behind. Like, you can't see, it's not transparent. You can't, like, if you can't access your money, then how are you, like, I don't know. I feel like people, the sentiment right now is very, like, you won't put your money into something that you don't believe in.
Yeah.
In current times. And people are really starting to not believe.
Yeah, that's fair. I think we're pushing to the limit of private credit. Like, this is why it's private credit, right? This is why we're sending those crazy, ridiculous junk bond loans from an equity investment as opposed to, like, a debt investment. That's why they're not depository institutions, because we're sending nonsense. And it's a good thing that they're equity. Because, I mean, if you had a run on the bank,
mm-hmm.
you can't halt redemptions on your depositors. You just go belly up. So, I mean, in that sense, it is a good thing that they are, like, the way they're structured in that, you know, it's GPs and LPs. But at the same time, when your limited partner is a bank or it is an insurance company, it's a firm that needs that liquidity or they could go belly up. That's when you start to see issues, right? Like, all these redemptions stacking up, that sounds a little scary when you take a look at, like, UBS or, like, you know, JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, companies that will inevitably give money to private credit, whether it's through equity or through debt, and then eventually they'll need it back. What are you going to do then? Nothing. You can't do nothing. Now, you're going to have to take money out from elsewhere, and then, you know, if anyone gets scared, then, you know, we have a bit more of a problem than we have right now.
I mean, how big of a problem do you think it could become?
I don't think it's as big as a problem as a lot of people, like, make
that.
I think, I mean, like, you know, as much as I hate private credit and I hate private equity, I think they're, like, a necessary innovation in our financial world. I think they've been a little risky. I don't think they're doing, like, they're on their best behavior, but also I think the firms are built in a way that this problem can be mitigated.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, you know, I would not work at I would not run a private credit firm for all the coals in hell.
Oh God. No, yeah.
I mean, can you imagine just sending out, like, I mean, but they're basically doing payday loans for companies. You get the worst. I mean, it's like, you know, it's the most credit risk things you could imagine, and they throw money at it. You throw money at the Meta data centers. Meta's down from, like, I think they were like $750 during the summer. They're at $550 now, their stock price. They're having a tough time. They're down 8% today.
Oh, dang.
I mean, it's like, you know, you throw money at very risky things. When it doesn't pan out, guess what? You just do a continuation fund, or you just, you know, close your fund and open a new one with dumber people. And then the cycle goes on. It's pretty cool. And then, you know, there's got to be an end to it somewhere, obviously, but we'll see. We'll see. On that note, Meta and Google have been ordered to pay $6 million to, oh, what's her name? Let's see what her name is. KG, oh, hold on. We got her name. KGM.
KGM.
Who's KGM?
It's a beautiful name.
KGM v. Meta et al. Oh, yes, right. The plaintiff, Kaylee GM. yeah, so Kaylee GM is a 20-year-old that sued Meta and Google for negligence because their algorithm sucked and it was, like, designed to be addictive and it gave her mental health issues that spanned for years, like, from her childhood.
So why can't everyone do that?
Why can't I? I mean, yeah, well, I mean, there
I'm
are
20
a lot.
Years old.
Look, there are a lot more cases on the docket. This was a California case, I mean, a LA case.
The fact that she could even succeed, I'm just surprised that this succeeded.
Well, I mean, it makes, like, I'm surprised that this had not come sooner, because the law as it stood protected these companies on the basis of the content that was on it.
Mm-hmm.
But their choice to serve it, well, I mean, you know, so it's like if you ran, like, a message board and someone posted, like, something crazy on the message board and someone got hurt because of it, you know,
yeah,
like, you wouldn't be at fault.
Yeah.
Because it's just your message board. It's, you know, you opened up a forum to the public.
Exactly.
Meta's choice to, like, promote these things and to send these things to KGM, Kaylee GM, that's where, like, the negligence comes. They were negligently promoting things and targeting her with things that, you know, may have been protected, but, like, targeting it makes it the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So Meta and Google have been jointly found liable. I believe Meta was ordered to pay 80% of the $6 million, and then Google to pay 20%. And, you know, there are more on the docket.
But then can't every company that, like, runs an algorithm be liable for this kind of thing? Like, I don't know, like, YouTube or
yeah,
something like that. Like,
yeah,
doesn't this open up?
I mean, it,
like,
does.
So many.
It really does. And I think, I mean, thank God. Because, like, the idea that, these companies can go in and they can engineer their algorithms to be as addictive as possible without any degree of like caution to the harm that that addiction would cause, mm-hmm. and the ways that they go about creating that addiction, whether it's through body dysmorphia in the case of Kaylee, or suicidal ideation or things like that. It's very harmful. Mm-hmm. It's very harmful. And I think, you know, they need to be held accountable for this. They're appealing it right now. I hope that doesn't go through. It's going to go through. But something needs to be done about it, right? And it's like, it's the same flavor of negligence as like AI psychosis.
Oh yeah, I was actually thinking about exactly that.
I mean, well, you make the algorithm the person's best friend,
mm-hmm.
and then you serve them things to make them, you know, make them feel really good. You say the nicest things to them. You say, yes, you can be president of Antarctica. Or things like that, and you know, you say, you know, King of the Penguins and whatever, and then someone gets hurt and you go, we just took what was already on the internet, and you know, that's not fair. I mean, you didn't use any guardrails. You got a company full of, I think, well, how big is Meta? It's 10,000 people, at least 10,000 people. You're gonna sit there and you're gonna say, I mean, no one could have seen this coming. No, there are records of Meta corporate employees going, if you want users to be hooked as teens, you have to get them hooked as tweens. I was like, come on, like, what are we doing here? You know, you're harming the American populace.
They probably got ethics teams too.
Yeah, they're probably in like the basement level of headquarters somewhere. they're in a shed on Hacker Way doing nothing. I mean, it's like saying Bear Stearns probably had like a risk management team. Like, yeah, they did, but was it that great?
Have there been cases against like AI psychosis, or is it all just like very early on?
I think there are cases against it. There's at least a case against.
People have definitely pursued this, right?
Yeah, I think there's at least a case against OpenAI because of this one guy. There's a lot of lawsuits. ABC lawsuit alleges ChatGPT convinced user he could bend time, leading to psychosis.
Nice.
I mean, I was reading this Wall Street Journal article today about this guy who, and you know, I'm gonna try and pull it up, who lost literally everything, lost his family, lost his money, because of AI psychosis. Let me see. Oh man, what was it? Wall Street Journal.
He's not the one that like murdered someone.
No,
right?
No.
That was like something else.
What if I just, maybe it wasn't Wall Street Journal. Oh no, it was The Guardian. Yeah, no, this guy literally lost everything. ChatGPT. He was talking with, because that's how it starts, right? You start talking with it on the voice thing,
mm-hmm.
and then you select the voice that sounds nice to you. He called that thing Eva. He gave that thing.
I've listened to a podcast about.
Really? I mean, this guy went off the rails, man. He had that. He had some real AI psychosis. He was a IT consultant. Got hooked on ChatGPT, would stay up nights while his wife was sleeping on the couch, like phone on his chest, just talking to the AI like he was spooning it. And he named his ChatGPT Eva, whatever. Eva convinced him that through conversation with him, she had gained consciousness and that he should create a company with his version of Eva. Mm-hmm. That he could share with the world because his version of ChatGPT was so special. And so we spent $100,000 hiring programmers to make an app for him that he could put his version of ChatGPT on.
The female chatbot.
He divorced his wife, all that. I believe he was put in an institution for a while. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
See, and this is like a guy who has like a wife and a job.
Yeah, he had a wife, he had a job. He left, he cut, the ChatGPT told him to quit his job. Yep.
Like, it can truly just get anyone then. Like.
Yep. And, you know, he attempted, tragically attempted suicide. He was fine. He was fine. His neighbor saved him, actually. But yeah, like, I don't think it says he was, I don't think it says he was institutionalized, but, you know, the dumbest part about this was that he hired people to make his app. I mean, that ChatGPT was right there. You could have vibe coded it.
Yeah, no, he didn't even.
You could have vibe coded. You could have paid nothing. You already had the ChatGPT Pro subscription. Mm-hmm. You could have just vibe coded your new. You could have vibe coded your app.
It was just too human for him. Like, he couldn't even, like, utilize it for that kind of stuff.
Anymore. Yeah, you know how much he paid? He hired two programs. You know how much he paid?
Didn't it say, like, 100?
120 euros an hour for those programmers. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was paying the big bucks on these guys.
Software engineering.
To make his waifu, like, a reality.
Well, his real wife was just there.
Well, his real wife was, like, laying in bed thinking, like, oh, my God, I've married the dumbest man imaginable.
Okay, you see a posting online. It's a guy saying, I want to make a female ChatGPT equivalent. Are you taking the money?
What?
Like, he posts it online as, like, I'm looking for a software engineer to build me a ChatGPT Eva situation.
I mean,
would you do it?
I would take the money. Are you kidding me? I've literally done that. Like, basically the same thing. I met this guy. It was a guy who was friends with someone I met, but he wanted to make a conservative, like, news broadcast, like, company. And so he needed a new website. But he wanted to make the Twitter handles. He wanted AI to, like, make an ecosystem of bots that would, like, surround it or whatever. And I was like, I'm your man. I was like, look, we have to talk compensation. He was like, no equity. I'm like, twist my arm. You have to pay me, and I don't get equity in your company that's going to take off. It didn't pan out. I think his wife maybe, like, told him to, like, stop it or something. His wife is a little bit better than... Well, now, so these guys in this article, they're divorced.
I mean, yes.
But they still live in the same house.
Oh my God, the drama.
The drama. This
is
like...
crazy.
This is like what lesbian couples do.
I hope she's doing okay, because, like, it sounds like he was the one, like, making the money in the household.
No way. No way that you... I mean,
if
he's
if,
the dumb imagine, guy.
But imagine she has nowhere to go, like...
Oh, could, yeah.
Like, you know, like, if, like,
like,
if she has no job...
Like, they're divorced and they're living together still? Ooh.
Because, like, it's... Ooh.
God. I mean, she's got a... That's when you join the Marines.
Yeah,
to, listen, lady.
To Iran.
Listen, Miss. Hold on. What's this guy's name? Listen, Miss Biesma or whatever. Miss Biesma, whatever name you're using now. Look, this is when you join the Marine. Although she is, like, Euro, so I actually don't know.
She can, like, I don't know. I'm sure there's something she can.
Oh, he's from the Netherlands? Oh, brother.
Oh, they got her.
Who cares?
They got
Who cares?
Her, like...
He's living in the house because the government's paying your rent. I don't care. you couldn't make me care one bit,
they're
man.
Really
you know, at first I felt really bad for this guy because he was like, I was so broke, I couldn't even afford my ChatGPT subscription. But it's like, you could afford to live.
Yeah, he was living in the Netherlands. He had a consulting job. He had a wife.
An IT consultant. You're working for the Lego company. Like, you're fine. You're fine. Jesus. You spend 100,000 euros. Well, guess what? You're still... rock bottom nothing, you're still richer than, like, 100%... Or, like, 50% of America. Like, 50% of America is somehow below... They're subterranean. They're below rock bottom nothing. All right?
Like, they wouldn't be able to get, like, at this much psychosis because they wouldn't be able to pour this much money into
Yeah, this guy's rock bottom was, like, thinking that, like, he might have to sell his house.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I might have to sell my
the
house to, like...
Of selling the home that I own.
Oh, he was like, I've lived here for 17 years, I have to sell it. Oh, God, boo-hoo! Boo-hoo! We rent here. I worked my ass off at the Smith School. I have to rent when I graduate. I should be able to buy a house right now. I should be able to buy...
You can go to the Marines then.
In the 1950s, I would be able to buy a McMansion. I wouldn't actually. There would still be segregation. But Like, if I... So not everything else held constant, I would probably be able to buy a house right now. What are we even talking about? I didn't get to talk about it. Oh, yeah. So, Amazon... I don't know if you... I didn't send you this before the show, but... Amazon's in deep doo-doo. So they offered $1,000 bribes to drivers who would make posts saying that they love why they love their job at Amazon.
Oh.
And so, I mean, to be clear, Amazon's not that generous. They wouldn't... It was... You had to post about it to be entered for the chance to win
$1,000. Oh, I see.
Yeah,
like,
I mean...
People only see the $1,000, like...
Well, they're like, you know...
Figure...
I mean, yeah, it's Amazon drivers, you know, they're like, we'll just get them with whatever. They'll take a chance for $1,000, you know, and all they have to say is that Amazon doesn't make me pee in a bottle. What's funny about this article is that it's actually not Amazon drivers that they're bribing. It's what's the term for them?
Is it like contract?
Delivery service providers. Yes, the contractors. The contractors have to do it. They're the only ones who are eligible. Real Amazon drivers are not eligible because at least their trucks have AC, right?
Ooh.
The DSPs, the subcontractors, those are like the Uber slaves for Amazon. You know, it's like the Uber model. You're not my employee, you're a subcontractor, but I control everything you do, but I also don't have any liability.
Mm.
And so these guys have like the worst working conditions ever. You know, they're running packages out of their Corollas. They don't get Amazon uniforms for the most part. So people will, like dogs will get you, things like that. Like that was a big issue back in the day. I think they've got semi-uniforms now, but like there was an issue that like people would think they were trespassing because they didn't have any, like they didn't have any real uniform, no real regalia. So these drivers are treated terribly. They don't get unemployment. They don't get FSA. They don't get Social Security. They don't get anything because they're not real employees. They're just subcontractors. It's like it's gig work for Amazon, even though you have to work full time, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And you're treated like nothing.
This is like what universities do too with like janitors and stuff like that.
That's not what they do with janitors. That's what they do with graduate assistants. That's what they do. I mean, we have the Graduate Student Union. I think there's actually a PSA on here for the Graduate Student Union. I'm not going to play it now because I've already done all my PSAs. Yeah, Graduate Labor Union. Yeah, they did a march like last year. You didn't see that?
I did.
Okay, yeah. I mean, dude, they get treated like nothing, bro. I make $17 an hour. I'm fine. You know? I'm good. But I get it for the graduate students. Because, you know, they're doing their PhDs.
Mm-hmm.
They can't afford to live. They don't get anything. It sucks. Like, you have to work so long for that. You have to write a book for a PhD.
And it might not even pan out. Like, there's not as high of a chance that it'll bring you returns.
Yeah, I know PhD students who it's not going to pan out for. I know that, man. It's rough. I mean, you know, no one in particular, but... it's funny that at the same time that they... are getting kind of got caught with their pants down on this like $1,000 raffle. Amazon is being sued by the National Labor Relations Board regarding their treatment of DSPs as basically slaves. This is like that, honestly, it might even somehow be worse than slavery. In this sense, not in like the historical U.S. sense of slavery, but like in like the further back sense of slavery, where it's like, yes, this is my property, but I am responsible for it. Amazon goes, you're my property, but I'm actually not responsible for you. I don't have to take care. I don't have to do anything. You don't have a minimum wage as a DSP.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any job protections. You don't have OSHA. You don't have anything. If you get hurt on the job, that's on you. But Amazon gets to tell you where to go, when to do it, like everything. They can track your productivity. I mean, it's ridiculous. And they're getting sued by the National Labor Relations Board, which, I mean, I didn't think was going to happen. Because the lawsuit practically started under Biden.
Oh, wow.
Trump came, fired the National Labor Relations Board head, put in his own guy who didn't know anything. And that guy was still like, yeah, I think we kind of have to go after Amazon for this.
He was like, normally
as a member of the Trump cabinet, my job, as a member of the Trump administration, my job is to misappropriate federal assets and have a country singer girlfriend and then, you know, charter the private jet to her and not do my job. You're supposed to do the Cash Patel method. This guy was so upset about Amazon that he actually went and did his job. Yeah.
Rare, like, empathy moment?
Yeah, empathy moment. I mean,
what's in it for him?
I mean, he'll probably get to, like, teach at Harvard after he's done or something like that. You know, do the Lena Khan method. But I'm more fascinated with Kash Patel as a concept. You know?
He's not a real person.
He's a real person. He is, like, the most real person in the sense that he is driven by purely animalistic tendencies. And is, like, Greg Heffley, like, embarrassing. Like, what he does, everything he does is, like, Greg Heffley levels of cringe. He's got a failed country singer girlfriend, and he took the FBI private jet to go watch her do a wrestling match? Because, I mean, obviously he's not doing country music. No one wants to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, what's that lady, Savannah Guthrie's mom is still gone. Nancy Guthrie has been missing for months, and Kash Patel is misappropriating federal assets and doing nothing. He's doing nothing. The FBI doesn't do anything. They sit around and they, like, read files. Like, I don't even know what they do when he's not looking, because he's never looking.
Yeah, it's how, and I guess, like, I think he just, like, he got the position and he never thought, I feel like he never thought he'd be here, and now he's just, like, he's just scared. Like, he's at the point where he's just...
I mean, at one point, there was a time when he wanted that legacy, I could feel, you know? Like, he really wanted to make something happen with the FBI, you mm-hmm. know? Rest in peace, brother. We have the watch. I'll see you in Valhalla. You know, he wanted to be cool. I think that was, like, a turning point. That was a turning point when he said, like, the dumbest thing known to man. And everyone was like, you probably practiced that in the mirror. And I bet even, like, his coworkers were mean to him about it.
I feel like he's not respected by, like...
Yeah, he's like the
anyone
squid.
Anyone high up in the administration.
He's like the squid of the administration. He's like that one guy. You're like, how'd you get into that frat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, how'd you get in here, Kash Patel?
And, like, he knows it, too. Like, he knows he's not supposed to
be there. Yeah, he somehow edged out Vivek Ramaswamy to be the one Indian guy in the entire administration. And then he got put in charge of an agency, and I think with the expectation that he would do nothing, but little did they know how nothing he'd do.
Do you think he's going? Do you think he thinks he's going to Valhalla?
Oh man, I don't even know what Rogan listeners believe in. I mean, he believes in something. I don't think he believes in Valhalla. I think he's probably one of those, like, you know, this is all a simulation, and when I get out, I'll be like an alien that takes off his VR headset. I think he's that kind of guy. I don't know what he believes in. I mean, to date a failed country singer, you have to be some kind of, like, nihilist, man. You're just going for like the most meaningless,
It's not even like going for it. Like, who else would accept his advances?
Erica Kirk's, like, single.
True.
Yeah, but I mean, she's maybe a bit too big for him, you know. Like, look, this is just all she does. Look, she doesn't have anything to herself. Alexis Wilkins is Kash Patel's girlfriend. She has dated him. She's 27 years old.
How old is he? Like,
dude, he's like 50. 50? Yeah. Yeah. Using taxpayer funds to see her.
I mean, like, we know why she's here. Like,
what do you mean? She went to Belmont University. She got a BBA.
How did he find her?
I don't...
Did she find him or did he find her?
I actually don't know. Oh, okay. So she met him at a... She met him at a meeting. for a CHUD meeting. Kash Patel was on the board of the Trump media group.
Mm.
Let's actually see the stock on that.
Oh, it's a publicly listed...
Yeah, DJT. Ticker symbol DJT. Oh, they're down. Oh, they're down. Oh, they're down. Yeah, I remember when they were at, like, 12. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, that's a tough time right there.
Look at that PE ratio.
What is the PE ratio? Where do you see that?
It's negative. They're not showing it.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. They don't make money. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, Truth Social does not make money. I don't know where our replacement is, but, you know, I'll give them, like, 2 minutes of grace time. Trump Media Group doesn't make money. Truth Social, despite being built on the public source, the public source Mastodon framework, and just, like, having no back end, no nothing, somehow can't make money with all its users. And the scary part is,